Let's pray together. Father, our prayer this morning is that we indeed may rejoice, not in the things of this world, but to rejoice in the things of eternity. Father, we pray that you will lift up our hearts, lift up our eyes to the Lord. Father, we thank you that even through the darkness and through the trials that we can see the light of Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit given to us to bear us beyond the burdens of this world. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word that you've given to us as a lamp to our feet. Father, for the many blessings, we give you thanks and praise. And Father, we ask right now that you'll help us to better understand your word, to guard the truth that's given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the saddest lotto winners was a man by the name of David Edwards. David and his wife won $27 million in a jackpot. That's not the sad part. The sad part is that the couple managed to waste the entire lot on high-end cars, on mansions, gifts to family and friends. In fact, by the first month, $3 million had gone. By the first year, $12 million was spent. 5 years after the win, the couple had spiralled into drug addiction. By this time, David and his wife were penniless, living in a storage shed. David died alone and broke in an aged care facility at the age of 58. There are literally hundreds of stories like this. Stories of lotto winners, people who have inherited family fortunes. And they all had one thing in common. They could not hold on to what they had. In some cases, many ended up far worse than they began. Now, sad as these stories may be, and there are many of them, it does not compare with a person who has allowed the treasures of God to slip through their fingers. People who have deceived, people who have been lied to, like Esau, people who traded their blessings for the world's rubbish. Over the last few weeks, we've seen the Apostle John reveal two very important lessons. The first were the great blessings and privileges that God has given to his people. It's a long, long list. And John gives us that list. We've been forgiven our sins, something the world does not understand and yet longs for. We are no longer in darkness. We have the light of Christ. We don't have to guess the purpose of life. We don't have to search out the different remedies in life. We know what they are. We are adopted as God's children. We are heirs to the promise. We have been given eternal life as a gift. We are people, John says, who are greatly loved. This is how God showed his love, says John. He sent his son on the cross to die that we might have life through him. We've been given the Holy Spirit who lives in us, so that we can now follow the word of God. And on John continues in that list. Blessing upon blessing. He's listed all of those until he gets to chapter 4. Then comes his second challenge. John warns us last week, do not be like Cain. Do not lose the blessings you have because of anger, jealousy and bitterness. Do not be like Esau, who traded his spiritual birthright, seeing it as of no value. As you've heard, John says in chapter 2, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. They will lie to you. They will deceive you. They will seek to strip you of the things you have. Now, these are not two-headed beasts. No, these are people. People who will come and deceive you and take away, rob you of the truth you have. I am writing these things to you about those who are leading you astray, says John. See, John, like the other disciples, they've seen many people come to Jesus. They've seen many people hear the gospel, get so excited about the good news of salvation, only to see them go off distracted, looking for the shiny baubles, missing life. According to the latest data, scammers have managed to cheat Australians have more than $1.3 billion last year. $1.3 billion scammed. Despite all the warnings from the government and from the banks, many people still let their guard down and find out the hard way that their trust was misplaced. Recently, there was a story of eight people who had bought the same car that was for sale. It seemed like a really good buy. It was a Toyota Corolla, just a few years old, for $5,000. The excited buyer goes to the address and sees the car in the driveway. It looks fantastic. They don't realise it's a rental. They don't realise that it's parked in someone's driveway who's on holidays. A well-dressed woman comes out and says to the buyer, "If you like the car, you can leave a holding deposit and come back when my husband returns from work." She did that to eight different people, each one leaving $500 deposit. And eight people came after 5 p.m., finding no car and no lady. It's a deception. Yet, friends, there is no greater deception than being tricked from the truths and the blessings that God has given to us. That's the greatest con. Jesus says to his followers in Luke 27, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he.' The time will come. Here is the time now. Do not follow them. They will come." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, "I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunningness, that your minds have somehow led you astray from your sincere devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a gospel different to what we've preached, you will put up with that quite easily." That's a rebuke, saying be careful. It's one thing to be blessed by God and enjoy his blessings, but John asks this question: can we keep these blessings safe amidst all the temptations and all the promises of this world? Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they come from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. I have met people who will tell me that they used to be a youth leader in one of the churches. One lady said, "I used to teach Sunday school for decades." Another person said, "I was an elder in the church." I meet people regularly who tell me they've had a connection with this or that church, and then they all tell me, "I've had nothing to do with God for years." Someone had upset them. Someone didn't recognize their gifts. They weren't appreciated, or whatever it may be. It's a common story. And I think, how close did these people come to God's liberating truths? And then they've been inoculated against the gospel. They've come so close. Jesus said to one honest lawyer, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven. You're heading the right direction. Keep going." But sadly, the world we live in delights to point people in the opposite direction. They con people out of their joy with false promises. They rob people of the hope with fine-sounding arguments. They strip people of their confidence, promising their heart's desire and giving them misery. In 2022, a newspaper article ran with this headline, "Catch Us If You Can," is a manhunt against an inmate and the prison guard lover. Convicted murderer Casey White managed to escape with the help of a female prison guard who had fallen in love with him. Vicky orchestrated the escape after it was revealed that she had had a love affair with Casey. After 11 days on the run, the pair were spotted in a truck, and when they were surrounded, Vicky shot herself. Casey was apprehended. Later it was found that Vicky had written dozens and dozens of love letters expressing her love for him. However, when Casey was interviewed, he made it very clear there was no future with him and Vicky after the breakout. He made it clear, "I've just used her to get out of prison." Her family and friends could not believe what she had done. They said it was out of character. She believed his lie, she acted on it, and lost everything that was good and true and wholesome. And John says to people of God, do not be a statistic. According to Hebrews, there are many people who have tasted the heavenly food. There are many people who have experienced the goodness of God. There are people who have witnessed his power and love and still walked away and traded what they had for what they thought was better. The people of God have always been privileged and blessed, old covenant, new covenant, but they've always struggled with faith and trust. No matter what they were given, there was always this nagging question, could it be better? Could I get more? The people of Israel oscillated as they rejected the Lord God, who called them to be his people, who delivered them out of slavery, and who blessed them immensely. They still ask, could there be more? Elijah rebuked them, saying, how long will you waver between two positions? If Baal is God, well, follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. But choose. Today there are so many people who are conned, having traded their eternal treasures. They've traded faith and trust and joy, and thinking they've made a killing, made a good business deal. But John the Apostle warns us, he says, guard the blessings you've been given. Do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits. So here's the problem. Because there are many false teachers out there, because there are many false prophets out there, people no longer know who to trust. Well, who do you trust? And some have ended up rejecting the very words of God and becoming their own authority. For the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day, it was their tradition. And Jesus said to them in Mark 7, you have let go of the commandments of God and you're holding on to traditions of men. You have set aside the commands of God to observe your own traditions. It is true, says John in chapter 3, verse 8, that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. That's his job. But the father of lies, Satan, the father of lies, will continue his deception. And friends, he's very, very good at it. He's very good with his lies. He's very good at deceiving. He's very good at stripping people of the blessings they have. Paul warns the believers in 1 Timothy 6, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. Such people are robbed of the truth, and they think that godliness is a means of financial gain. In fact, one of the earliest handbooks in the Christian faith, called the Didache, written in 95 AD, it was a handbook given to Christians, a little booklet, and it warns against being deceived. The booklet, one part says this, if someone comes into your church and offers to tell you the gospel in exchange for money, tell them to leave. They are a false prophet. How early is that? 95 AD. Be careful of false prophets. So years ago, I challenged a man in the church. He'd been coming regularly, but he had no interest in the things of God. And he said to me, you know, to be honest, church is simply a great place to network with people for business. That was it. He didn't come to church because he was interested in the gospel or the good news of it. No, it was a great place to network with people. What does Paul say? Such people are robbed of the truth. They think godliness is a means of financial gain. Now, the Apostle John tells us how we can detect this danger. For all these false teachers, they all have one thing in common. They all attack the person of Jesus. You know, at work, you can talk about God all you like. You can talk about morality all you like. You can talk about good works. No one raises an eyebrow. But you mention Jesus and the hackles come up. The Pharisees called Jesus a deceiver. The Romans called him a fool. The false teacher said he was inferior to God. Some said he was a good moral teacher. The Muslims say he's just one of many prophets. The Mormons tell us that Jesus simply helps us achieve our goal. Our secular world uses the name of Jesus as a swear word. And the various cults, they strip Jesus of his divinity and glory, and he becomes a guide. No wonder people are confused. No wonder there's confusion in the world. And because there is a confusion, various groups come to you and I'll say, let me give you a solid foundation to stand on. Follow me. And daily people will trade away their blessings and Satan laughs at his success. One of my favourite cartoons was of a demon. He's just convinced someone to trade his soul. And he says to another demon, he says, I traded his soul for a bar of chocolate. I was going to offer him riches and fame, but he settled for a bar of chocolate. Sometimes it's that easy. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, says John in verse 3, which you have heard coming and is now in the world. The lies, the deception are not random. They're designed to rob you of the joy that should be yours. Many years ago, a group of the church people studied a book called Reason for God by Timothy Keller. At the end of the book, someone decided we'll do a role play and rehearse some of the questions to see how we can answer these questions. I was designated the part of the atheist. And so I began my job. As an atheist, I said to them, you Christians are a pathetic lot. You place your faith in a discredited book called the Bible. You believe in what science has already proven to be false. You put your faith in some invisible guy in the sky, someone no one's ever seen. There's no proof he exists. Your religion has spread hatred and wars wherever it goes. Of all society's ill, they find their origin in your foolish and outdated religion. Your egotistical and hateful God has brought nothing but misery and chaos to this world. And here you are living in an enlightened and scientific world, and you still cling to this pathetic religion. Many were shocked at that, didn't know what to say. I just told 10 lies with absolute confidence. 10 lies with confidence was enough to rattle people. That's what the world does. It spins these lies with absolute confidence, and we're staggered. Listen to John. The Apostle John says in a most loving way, dear children, you are from God, and you have overcome. You are from God, you have overcome, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's why you overcome. You have the truth. Stop believing the lies and deception that robs you of that truth. You are from God, and you are already victorious. We are more than conquerors, says Paul. See, John makes a clear distinction between those who are God's children and those who are being deceived. And we've seen that in the journey through 1 John. No one who says, I love God and continues to walk in darkness is a child of God. No one who says, I love God and continues to sin can be a child of God, for Christ has died to bring forgiveness. No one who says, I love God, but does not love his brother or sister in Christ can be a child of God. And here in verse 6, John says, everyone who knows God listens to us. But he who is not from God does not listen. That's a distinction. Jesus said the same thing. My sheep hear my voice, and those who are not my sheep will not listen. This is how we test the spirits. It's by comparing their teaching with the word of God. It is the only standard of truth that we have. John says in John 17, as Jesus prayed, he said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Father, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Well, we try to conform to our society that we live in. John tells us, no, there's a massive difference between us and them. They are of this world, says John. They speak from this world, and the world listens to them. It is hard to treat the eternal blessings we have as valuable because the world around us says they're rubbish. You tell your neighbour all this list of what you've got, they'll go, what big deal? Show me your car, show me your house, show me your bank account. They speak from a world view from this world. That's all they have. But our worldview, says John, comes from God. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. This is how we distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Who do you listen to? As John says here, we only have a limited time on the earth. Who do you listen to? What will we have to show for it? It's not the content of a bank account. It's not some legacy we leave behind when we die. It will be what survives into eternity. Whatever passes through the fire, that's what you'll have left. The world and its desires pass away, says John, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. How is your peace? How's your joy? How's your confidence in the things of God? There is no greater tragedy than being robbed of the blessings of God without even knowing it. Bernie Madoff is considered one of the biggest scammers in history. He managed to con people of more than $65 billion in his Ponzi scheme. And the best part of his scam was those who were being scammed did not even know they'd lost everything. They thought they were saving for their retirement, their pension, their investment. In the end, the shock came when he was being arrested. And they looked and they found there was nothing left in the account. This is what the Apostle John is warning us against, to guard what we have. What a list God has given to us, unconditional love. He has given to us forgiveness of sin, every sin. We are adopted into his family. We have the word of God as our light. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our teacher. Each day we live by his grace. Eternal life is given to you as a gift, as a down payment. Perhaps we should do what one Christian bikie said when he first entered the church. If these people have all these things, how come their faces do not know it? Do not let anyone rob you of your eternal inheritance or your joy. Let us pray. Father, we guard so many things well. We guard our cars and our house and our money. We guard so many things we appreciate. And yet, Father, I wonder, help us this morning to guard the things that are eternal, to guard the truth of God, to guard the joy that we have, to guard the blessings that we've enumerated. We thank you for John's love and concern. Father, help us as we leave this place to realize the enormous treasure that is ours and to guard the good deposit until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to conclude with the singing of a beautiful old hymn, Love with Everlasting Love. The basis of all these gifts is God's love for us. Let's stand together.